How about grabbing your Bibles then and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. The book of Genesis, chapter number 12, is where we'll find our message for tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll just get right into it. Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to be in your house tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for what we felt in our souls as these young ladies have sung. Lord, I'm so glad that you are a need-meeting God. God, that you're able to provide every need that we have in our lives. And Lord, I'm glad that you're always faithful. God, we're not always faithful, but you remain faithful. And I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of God tonight. God, thank you for this church and the opportunity to minister tonight in word. And I pray that you'd bless us as we do so. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. Someone once wrote that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. In the previous passage that we preached from last Wednesday night, we saw as Abraham began to really walk with God. After the death of his father Terah, Abraham moved by faith out of Haran into the land of Canaan, where God had called him to. Twice, when we left off in chapter 12, twice we watched as Abraham pitched his tent, and twice we watched as he built an altar. You see, Abraham was beginning to become the man of faith that God wanted him to be. And can I say in passing that God wants you and God wants me to be men and women of faith. God asks us to be men and women of faith. That's what he wants from us. But in the beginning of this chapter, in the middle of this chapter, I should say, in the middle of this chapter, it is now time for Abraham's faith to be put to the test. The first time that Abraham's faith is tested, and even the second time that Abraham's faith is tested, he'll not do so well. But by the time the chapter is ended and we move over into chapter number 13, we'll see that Abraham learns and he grows and he develops. I'm so thankful, and we'll say more about this in a minute, but I'm so thankful that when Abraham was faced with the first test of faith and he didn't come through with flying colors and he made a mistake, I'm glad that he didn't do what so many people do today and just give up and quit and say, you know, God's done with me, I've messed up, I can't ever do anything for God again. But he picked himself up, he dusted off his britches, and he kept on walking with God. And he became the man of faith that he was because he learned to move forward even when he did not make the right decisions. There are three tests that Abraham faces in the end of chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13. I want to show them to you tonight. And I'll preach for a few minutes on this thought: when faith is put to the test. When faith is put to the test. And that these three tests that Abraham will face, you'll discover, will be the same three tests of faith that you and I will be put to in our Christian life. I want you to notice this. Number one, he's faced with the test of problems. He's faced with the test of problems. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land." Oh my. Abraham is now in the land of Canaan. This is the promised land, the land God told him about. And in verse number 10, problems come. The Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." Now, I don't know how it happened, but at some point, a famine comes to Abraham in the land of Canaan. After traveling from Haran to Canaan, we're told that God speaks to Abraham again in the previous verses. Must have been wonderful for God, for Abraham to hear from God one more time. God reaffirms his promises to him, and he reaffirms his blessings upon him. And as he does so, Abraham builds an altar and he worships God. Things are wonderful in the life of Abraham. But according to verse number 10, from out of nowhere, something comes into this man's life that he was not expecting. God sends a famine into the land of Canaan. And now we don't know for sure, but this very well could have been the very first famine that Abraham had ever faced. It may be that there was never a famine in the land of Ur. He had never faced this when he lived among the Chaldees. Maybe this was the first famine he had ever faced. But we know that this is something that struck Abraham hard. He did not know how to deal with it, and so he makes a decision. I can almost in my mind picture as things begin to go dry in the land of Canaan. Maybe there's no rain and the grass begins to wither. The ground isn't yielding its crops like it normally yields. Maybe Abraham goes and looks at his cattle one day and his cattle are lean. And he looks at the sheep and they're not producing wool like they normally do because of malnutrition. And Abraham realizes that things aren't going well in his life. And he begins to ask his neighbors, what are y'all doing? And they said, well, we've heard that they've got food in Egypt, so we're going down to Egypt. And Abraham looks out his tent door one day and he sees everybody packing up their tents and packing up their homes and loading up their cattle, and they're going down into Egypt. And so Abraham says to Sarah, honey, I think that we ought to pack our stuff and move. Here's what I do not read in verse number 10. I do not read where Abraham asked God about this. I don't read where God spoke to Abraham at his altar and said, Abraham, go to Egypt. I don't read that in this passage of Scripture. I read that God sends a famine, God sends a problem, and Abraham makes a decision. And let me say a couple things. Let me say, first of all, that God wanted Abraham and Sarah to learn a lesson when he sent this famine to their lives. God wanted them to learn, teach them faith, that even when circumstances aren't the best, you can still trust God. You see, I believe that if Abraham would have stayed in Canaan where God placed him, God would have provided everyone the needs in the life of Abraham. I believe God would have some way, somehow, taken care of his people because they were where God had told them to be. And sometimes God allows things to come into our lives seemingly out of nowhere that we do not understand for the purpose of teaching us that we can still trust him even in the midst of bad circumstances. If you read your Bible, you'll discover something interesting. You'll discover this. Oftentimes, tests follow triumphs. You study it for yourself and find out if I'm not right. Oftentimes, when God opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing, usually a battle quickly follows that. Abraham just got into the land of Canaan. God said, this is where I want you to be. I'm going to give this land to your children. Oh, Abraham, this is the blessing of God. And here comes a storm. How many of you know that's true? You remember the story of the life of the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul said, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. Paul said in one part of the chapter, oh, God called me up into the third heaven. Let me see unspeakable things. A great triumph of faith. In the last part of the chapter, he said, and because of the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, God, just like in the life of Paul and in the life of Abraham, God oftentimes in our lives allows tests to come after triumphs. You see, God knew that Paul and Abraham and you would become overconfident if there were just triumphs and no trials. Paul warned the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He said, when you think you are at your best, you better be on guard because something might happen. Take heed, Paul said. This is a warning. When you are confident, don't fall. But then he follows that verse with this verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with every temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He said this, verse 12, when you're confident, be careful not to fall. Verse 13, sometimes God gives you temptation so you don't fall. Trials. Someone once wisely said that in the life of the Christian, you're either going through a trial, you've just been through a trial, or you're about to go into a trial. You say, why is it that way, preacher? Because the reality is that if we lived up here all the time, we'd be pretty weak Christians. Now, let's get back to Abraham. God had just told Abraham that this is the land he had promised him. Abraham should have stayed in that land and trusted God. He should have said, this is where God wants me. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to trust God. But instead he goes down into Egypt. Something interesting, if you study your Bible, you'll find this to be true. Egypt is always a picture of the world and the flesh. Egypt is always a picture of the world and the flesh. And you'll discover something interesting. Anytime someone in your Bible goes to Egypt, they always go down into Egypt. Every time. In contrast to that, in your Bible, every time somebody goes to Jerusalem, they always go up to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter on the map, Brother Wally, where they're at. They're going up to Jerusalem, the place of the Spirit, the place of God, the place of righteousness. They're going up to Jerusalem, but they're always, no matter where they're at geographically speaking, they're going down into Egypt. And the Bible says in verse number 10, there's a famine in the land, and so Abraham went down into Egypt. He trusted the world, and he trusted the flesh. He should have trusted God. Now, before we look down our nose at Abraham, let's consider ourselves for a moment. Now, I'm sure there's some super-duper Christians in here, and you've never had a lapse of faith. Congratulations. That's all I know to say, congratulations. But here's what I know about most of us. I know that when difficulties come, we try everything in our ability to fix the problem. And God's the last resort. Isn't that right? God's the last resort. Someone said, when you've exhausted all that you have and you realize that all you've got left is God, you'll discover you had all you needed the whole time. And we say, yes, that's... But why do we exhaust everything we have before we try God? Things are going rough. Just barely getting by, making ends meet. I guess I'll skip church Sunday and work overtime. Won't you trust God? Amen. Things are tough this week. Preacher, I don't think I can give my tithes. Won't you trust God? Oh my, now he's meddling. I can read minds. I know what y'all are thinking. Things are going difficult in the family. Let me run to this one and talk to them. And let me run to this one and talk to them. When did you talk to God? God had put Abraham there and he should have just stayed there. You know something I've noticed? I've been in church. I saved when I was 14. My family didn't go to church before that. When I was 14. I'm 39 now. It's 25 years, right? 25 years I've been in church. You know what I've discovered about church folk? You let a little problem come up, some of them will run away. If God has put you somewhere, you better stay where God put you till He says go somewhere else. You say, but it's tough. Yeah, it's tough. And eventually you stick around the other church, it'll be tough there at some point too. Amen. Abraham should have said, this is where God's promised me blessings. And I'm looking at my cattle and they don't look blessed. And I look in my cupboard and it don't look blessed. And I look at the landscape of society and it don't look blessed. But this is where God said He would bless me, and I'll just trust Him. But instead, Abraham said, Sarah, pack everything up, baby. We're going to go down into Egypt. You remember, this happened to another couple. This happened to another couple a few books on down. You read the book of Ruth, and there's a couple named Naomi, and there's a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And the wash pot, the trash can, they go to the world. Cost them everything because they wouldn't stay where God had put them. Do you realize it almost cost Abraham the same thing? We'll see that in just a second. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, you are safer in a famine in His will than in a palace outside of His will. Number one, Abraham had the test of problems. You'll face that test, I promise you. They'll come into your life. They'll come into my life. Number two, we'll face the test of people. We'll face the test of people. Verse 11, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Wherefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is thy wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Once Abraham arrived into Egypt, he faces a whole new set of problems. Oftentimes, one mistake leads to another mistake. If Abraham had never left the place where God had put him, he would have never have to face the trial of the Egyptians. In Canaan, Abraham had to face famine. But in Egypt, he's going to have to face Pharaoh. Abraham will discover that famine wasn't as bad as what he would face when he got outside the will of God. Abraham gets into Egypt and he makes an observation. He looks at Sarah and he says, you're hot. I mean, really, he did. He said, you are good looking. He said, babe, you're good looking. And you're so good looking, they'll kill me to get you. Tell them you're my sister. A half-truth. Sarah was his half-sister. But do you know that usually a half-truth is about the same as a whole lie most of the time? Amen. Tell them you're my sister. Now, I want you to notice a few things. Notice, first of all, I just read you verse 11 through verse 13. I don't read one instance where Abraham built an altar when he got to Egypt. Twice in the verses leading up to this, he built an altar. There's no altar built in Egypt. You see, the two altars that Abraham used prior to this, they were for the purpose of worshiping God, but they were also for the purpose of seeking direction from God. You see, the tent and the altar went together. He would pitch that tent and he would build that altar. And God would tell him where to go next. And he'd move that tent and build that altar. And God would tell him. He was a sojourner all his days. You see, Abraham, by not building an altar, you know what that tells me? That tells me that he's no longer seeking direction from God. He's making his own plans. There are many Christians that are scheming today instead of trusting today. If I do this, I can work this out. Or if I handle this way, and we'll lay in bed all night long and play out scenarios in our mind. If I say this, then they'll say that. And if I do this, then they'll do that. And if I can get this to happen, then this will happen and this will take care. And we're scheming. We ought to be trusting. Notice, secondly, that the confidence that Abraham had when he left Haran has now been replaced by fear. I've often said it, I'll say it again tonight, that faith and fear can't live together. And the man of faith is now a man of fear. He's afraid of the famine. He's afraid of the Egyptians. Notice too, you got your Bibles open still, right? Notice two sections of Scripture. Look at verse 2, all right? Abraham is leaving, headed to Canaan in the will of God, the man of faith. I want you to notice all the I wills in verse 2 and verse 3. And I will, now this is God speaking, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. God, I will. And Abraham's moving on the promises of God. But look at verse number 12. The I will of God has been replaced by the they will. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Abraham's life is turned from a life of God saying, I will, to him saying, they will. I will. And he's got faith. But now he's got fear. They will. They will see thee. They will kill me. They will save you. Because the fear in the life of Abraham, he's taken his eyes off God now. Look at verse 13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Notice, thirdly, Abraham becomes selfish. His number one priority outside of living for God should have been taking care of Sarah. That was his wife. And a man's supposed to care for his wife. But he cares more about Abraham than he cares about Sarah. They'll kill me and save you. So tell them you're my sister. Lie for me. Can you imagine the fear that Sarah had to deal with when Pharaoh took her? She should have never have to face that. He should have stood up for his home and his family. You know what happens when we're not trusting God? We become selfish. Verse 20, you know the way the story progresses. Pharaoh takes Sarah, that princess Sarah. Verse 14 down through verse number 20, Pharaoh takes her. Now, obviously, the Egyptians were a lot like the Babylonians. You remember in the book of Esther, when Esther is taken in before the king, there was that process of preparation. You put aside, fed a certain diet, you know, they had to do their hair and their makeup and get ready for the king. Sarah's taken away from Abraham and she's put aside. But before Pharaoh can make her his wife, God steps into the middle of the situation. God speaks to Pharaoh, and he plagues him in verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. I believe God sent plagues, and God let Pharaoh know the exact reason those plagues were there. God had called Abraham to be a blessing. That's what he said. And when he got into Canaan, he said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. I want you to be a blessing to the nations. But now he's not a blessing to the nation. Now he's a curse to the nations. When we leave the will of God, we stop walking by faith, we become selfish in our nature, we're dangerous to ourselves, and we're dangerous to everybody around us. You remember when Jonah got outside the will of God, tried to go to Tarsus instead of Nineveh? That storm come upon that ship, and they said, we're going to cast lots and find out who's done it. And Jonah said, ain't no sense in casting lots. It's me, boys, it's me. You're going to have to throw me overboard. I said, we can't throw you overboard. He said, if you want to live, you'll throw me overboard. And they tossed him. He was a danger to everybody around him because he wasn't inside the will of God. Here's Abraham. He's embarrassed. He's broken in front of the Egyptian. In the eyes of man, this should have been the end of the story. But in the eyes of God, it's not the end of the story. You say, oh, I've messed up, preacher. Well, that doesn't mean that's the end of your story. Notice the goodness of God in spite of the failures of Abraham. It would have been tragic for Pharaoh to take Sarah. It would have broken up a family. That would have been bad enough. But you understand that it was through Abraham that the Jewish nation was going to be born, and through Abraham that the Messiah was going to be born. So it would have been catastrophic if Pharaoh would have taken Sarah. And so God shows up, steps in, and stops all of this from happening. But can I tell you something? Can I say that God forgives sins, but sin still carries baggage with it? I wish I could get people to understand this. I really do. I wish I could get people to understand this. God steps in and he gives Sarah back to Abraham, and they leave Egypt. When they leave Egypt, Pharaoh's going to give Abraham a great substance. When he goes, that substance is eventually going to cause a fight between him and Lot. Sarah's going to leave Egypt with a little handmaid that she didn't have when she went down into Egypt. Her name's Hagar. Hagar. Abraham's going to take Hagar, and he's going to have Ishmael. Never should have been. Never would have happened if they wouldn't go to Egypt. Lot would soon go down into Sodom. But do you know why Lot would go down into Sodom? Because it reminded him of Egypt, and he never could get Egypt out of his heart. Never would have happened if they'd have stayed in Canaan. And can I say, friend, that when problems come, you stay where God's put you. And when people rise up against you, you stay where God has put you. But if you mess up and you go down into Egypt, can I tell you what you ought to do? You ought to do what Abraham did in verse 1 through verse 4. Verse 1 of 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. The Bible says, verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. You know what Abraham did? He messed up. He failed the test of problems. He failed the test of people. He said, I about lost it all. And then he realizes something. I've not heard from God in a while. And he starts thinking, when's the last time I heard the voice of God? He said, it was at that first altar. That's the last time I heard him. He said, Sarah, we're going back to Canaan. And he packs his stuff and he goes up out of Egypt and he heads into the Canaan land. And he finds that very first altar and he dusts it off. And he said, this is where I heard God last. This is where I felt God last. This is where he was last time I saw him. And he gets there and he calls on the name of God. You say, preacher, I've not heard from God in a while. You probably ought to figure out where the last time you heard him was, and you ought to go back there. What was it that happened from that time until now? Have you left Canaan and gone into Egypt? You may have to pack your stuff and get back to that altar if you want to hear the voice of God again. Never abandon your altar. Stay in fellowship with the Lord. And if you've been disobedient, return to the place where you last heard God and make things right. Let me give you this last one. This will be quick. You know this story. He faced the test of problems. He faced the test of people. And he faced the test of possessions. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they may dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle, and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and Perizzites dwelt then in the land. My father-in-law tells a story of visiting someone in the hospital many years ago. He said they were in the hospital, maybe approaching death. And he said while that loved one was in that hospital room approaching death, the kids were out in the hallway fighting over who was getting what. So they weren't even dead yet. And they were already out in the hallway about to come to blows about who was getting what. I wonder how many fights have been caused because of the love of money. Well, that very same thing causes a fight now. Now we've got the test of possessions. And Abram said to Lot in verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. When the two tests come, previously in the life of Abraham, he did not do so well. But when this test comes, Abraham's going to pass this one. Notice a few things that Abraham determined, and I'm out of here. Number one, Abraham determined that he was going to live in peace. Determined he would live in peace. The problem was not the land. The problem was not the herdsmen. The problem was in the heart of Lot. When they left Egypt, something was different about Lot. Abraham had returned to his altar. Abraham had returned to his God. But Lot did not want that lifestyle. Lot wanted the world and all that it could offer him. Amos asked the question, and you know the answer to it. In Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. Lot begins to argue and Lot begins to fight. But Abraham seeks peace. There's a fight. And Abraham comes to him and says, let's don't fight, verse 8. Let's don't fight. Now, this is hard to do. This had to be hard in the life of Abraham. It's hard to seek peace when somebody else is causing trouble. Are you listening to me? It's hard to turn the other cheek when somebody strikes out against you. It's easy for me to say, oh, turn the other cheek. That's what Jesus said to do. And then you say something nasty to me on the way out. Bless God, I won't set everything straight. Hey, I'm human just like you are. And it's hard when somebody rails out against you not to rail out back. It's hard to give somebody your cloak when they're trying to take your coat away from you. They're doing you wrong and you know they're doing you wrong. You're ready to fight. But we got to remember something. We got to remember something bigger's at stake. Consider two things with me. Consider, first of all, this fight with Lot was not worth costing Abraham peace with God. He knows what that feels like. He doesn't want that anymore. Brother Scott, if you say something nasty to me, I can go home and me and everything can be all right with God. God will deal with you. But if I say something nasty back, now I've got to make it right with you and I've got to make it right with God. Now I go home and the Holy Spirit says, you should have kept your mouth shut. You should not have said anything. Don't you know that vengeance is mine? Now I got to deal with God over it. Do you see? And Abraham, this wasn't worth costing him that peace. But notice this. The Bible says that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were in the land. It wasn't worth costing him his testimony. Can you imagine as those herdsmen of Abraham and those herdsmen of Lot are out there and they're arguing and they're bickering and they're fussing and they're fighting. And the Canaanites are saying to their neighbors, these are supposed to be God's people. These people said they're Christians. Look at them, they're fussing and fighting. They're supposed to be different than us. They say they've heard from God. If that's what hearing from God does for you, I don't want no part of it. Now, I'm going to say two things right here. And I know both of them will go over about like a lead balloon, but I'm going to say them anyways. You ready? Number one, you ain't got no business fussing and fighting with anybody else in this church. It is not worth costing you your peace with God, and somebody else is going to see it. What a shame for somebody to be sitting in a church house and two Christians over here fussing with each other about something that's happened. Shouldn't ever happen. Shouldn't ever happen. Shame on you if you let it happen. Number two, if you do get into a fuss or if you don't agree with something that goes on at this church, please don't tell your lost family about it. Let me tell you what's going on down at the church. And then invite them Sunday. See how that works out for you. If there's something that you disagree with that happens in this church, you better talk to God about it first. Amen. You talk to God about it. See if you and God can't work it out. But don't ever talk to somebody outside of this church about it. Never. Never ought to happen. Amen. All right. Abraham determined he's going to live in peace. Secondly, Abraham had learned not to live for himself. Abraham learned a lesson in Egypt. He was selfish in Egypt. But now he's going to put God first. Abraham was the elder of the two. Lot was his nephew. Abraham was the elder. Abraham had every right to choose which direction that he went. He had the choice, but instead he put somebody else first and he come up to Lot and he said, you pick which way you want to go and I'll go the other way. If living in peace is sometimes hard, imagine how hard it is now. He's not only determined not to strike back, but he's going to take that man that's put him in this situation and he's going to put his needs above his own. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Number three, Abraham had learned to live by faith. You know the reason that Abraham could let Lot make the choice? Because Abraham was trusting God. Abraham knew that whatever direction he went, God would bless him. When Lot departs from Abraham, verse 14 down through verse number 18, God speaks to his man once again. God gives Abraham instructions. This is what he says. He says, lift up your eyes. Look, lift up your feet and walk. Walk to and fro in the land. I'm going to give it all to you. And you know what Abraham does? He builds an altar and he worships God. He couldn't build an altar when he failed the test of provision. And he couldn't build an altar when he failed the test of people down there in Egypt. But he stuck with God this time. Cost him some pride. Cost him some words. But he had peace with God in his heart. And he worshiped God. Father, thank you for the opportunity. God, I know we'll face tests. I pray that you'd help us to pass them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you.